We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah!
Happy New Year! This is Pastor Charlie John Lukumski. I'm here in my home in New Athens, Illinois, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark here at Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor. And yes, a Happy New Year to everyone. We've taken a little time off, right, with Wrestling the Basics, John, and been the 12 days of Christmas on KFUO, correct?
Yep, and now we're back into our regular Saturday morning, although, again, feel free to listen to us anytime you want to. In fact, we recommend if you're having trouble sleeping, try an episode of Wrestling with the Basics before you go to bed. That usually helps. You might not even get through an episode, and you'll be nodding off.
We are the number one rated show among sleep doctors and therapists, John.
<That's>
frequently
right.
Prescribed melatonin and Wrestling with the Basics.
That's exactly right. Very good. Right?
No, you got me. John coughing. Watch out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it is a new year, and so we're going to be doing some new things. Matt's got a new series we want to start off with here. At least we'll be doing one episode. Who knows? And I also have a new thing I want to do, Matt. I know we try to avoid being political on this show, but this year I think there's some things we do need to speak out about. So if I could kick that off this year. And then we'll get to your new theme as well. Is that all right, Matt?
Okay, John. Yeah. I have no idea what you have planned.
Well, education, Matt. Education.
Okay.
I think we need to call upon our government leaders to spend more effort upon education, because I'm realizing that we have a lot of stupid deers out there, and somebody really needs to address that issue.
All right. Got it, John. Okay.
Yeah. And I think our deer education is lacking. I know that there were no deers in the schools that I went to, my grandkids. I don't think that. And we really do need to do something, because these stupid animals, you know, it's a big car. It's making noise. It's got lights on it. I would think you would say, oh, I'm not going to run into that. Other animals, right?
Yeah. Wait.
Go ahead, man.
I'm just wondering, John, what prompted you to have this on your mind and to be this advocate for deer education?
Well, see what I'm thinking, Matt. Have you ever seen a guy with a dent in his car and he said, oh, yeah, a squirrel ran into me? No.
I can't say that I have.
No. Oh, an opossum. A possum bumped into me. A raccoon. No. Other animals, no. You run away when you see big, noisy things. You know, now they're not necessarily really good at it. The squirrel will go left and then he'll turn and go right. And then he goes squish. But at least he has enough sense not to run into the car. But yes, that's the problem. We were going over to my son's as if I don't have enough problems. And the stupid deer ran smack dab into the side and practically demolished my car. And I'm thinking, it wasn't like he was coming out of the woods where he couldn't see anything. It was a wide open field. The corn had been harvested. There was a clear, I couldn't see him because it was dark, but they see in the dark, don't they? Don't they, the little beady eyes? Can they see in the dark? Maybe they need glasses.
Maybe they need glasses.
Maybe it's
no,
not education. Anyway.
All right, John. Well, I'm glad you're airing your grievances in the beginning of the year.
I think that's enough. What did you want to talk about?
Well, we're just glad you're safe, John, and
yeah,
me too, because that can be, joking aside, boy, that can be a terrible accident when a deer hits a car, or a car hits a deer. For sure. Glad you're safe.
So I've got all kinds of doctor's appointments to go to. This is before Christmas, so you know you got people to see and family to visit and shopping to do. And here all of a sudden, boom, and that's it. So, whatever. By the time people hear this, that will all be resolved. And maybe in a future episode, we'll tell you how that ended up. But what do you want to talk about today, Matt?
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about the one who created the deer.
Ah, there you go. God. That's a nice segue.
Yeah, right. So anyway, it is the beginning of a new calendar year, 2026. And we thought, well, you know, maybe a good way to begin the year is with the beginning, the beginning. So we want to look today at Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, and maybe a little bit of background on Genesis as we go along the way as well. But yeah, we're going to be studying this in a Bible class I'm teaching at Ascension on Tuesday mornings. Now, this is a slow-moving Bible class, John. It's going to take us a couple years to get through Genesis, I'm guessing. So I don't know if we're going to track that exactly or wrestling with the basics or not, but I think at least for this episode, let's begin the new year in the beginning with Genesis 1 verse 1.
Can I ask you, so this will be running through January and even after that, right, Matt?
This Bible study? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is going to be running probably for a couple years, knowing class. So
give people the time and your address, because maybe some of our listeners who are in St. Louis will want to join you for
You're always welcome.
Bible study.
Yeah, you bet. Sure, the more the merrier. So Tuesday morning is 9:30 a.m. We go to about 11 a.m. We begin class with prayer, and then after that, and prayer requests around the table. After that, we tell a couple jokes, John. So you would fit right in.
Oh.
But what happened was there were some guys in the class that would just kind of sprinkle jokes throughout the class. You know, think of something that comes to their mind. And we're like, oh, I've got a joke about that. And we said, let's just do the joke at the beginning of the class, get it out of our system, and then focus on the Bible. All right. So we've got our joke. And then it's all business. Then we're into the word. But anyway, always welcome. We're here in South City across from Francis Park, St. Louis Hills neighborhood. If you're in St. Louis, you probably have a good idea where that's at. So
Ascension Lutheran Church.
So the
you mean in
of
the
Donovan
basement up in the church? Or what do you
We're in our fellowship hall. So we have about 20 to 25 people that come. And love
coffee,
to have others.
Coffee, donuts?
Always coffee, sometimes donuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I can have the donuts all the time, and I might show up. And I'm not coming over there and find out that it's the week you don't have donuts. So, all right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
All right, here we go.
What do you want me to read?
Real quick before we read before I actually read it, just, you know, the book of Genesis in general. I think sometimes, you know, you might tell someone, you know, I'm going to a Bible study on Genesis. And, you know, someone might ask, well, why study the book of Genesis? You know, aren't these just Sunday school stories, right? And we think of creation and Noah's Ark, and we think of the Tower of Babel and all those things. But these things, one, they're true, right? This is God's word, including everything in the book of Genesis. But then two, these accounts are foundational to everything else in the Bible, right? In our Bible class, we just finished studying Revelation. And so we thought, well, we'll just start at the beginning then, right? But it's amazing how many parallels there are between Genesis and Revelation.
Oh, really? No, and I would never have thought that. Okay.
Yes, especially when it comes to creation. You know, when you have creation in Genesis, the new creation Revelation, you have the tree of life in Genesis. You have the tree of life in Revelation. You have, you know, we'll get to the part about light, right? You have that reflected in Revelation as well. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but lots of parallels. So now my point is Genesis, the content in and of itself in Genesis is important, but it also is foundational for the rest of Scripture.
You know, it almost sounds like it's the same guy that maybe wrote Genesis that also did Revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a possibility?
Well, see, that's the amazing thing, because who was, you know, when we're talking about the literal guy, right?
Yeah.
So who wrote Genesis? Well, very early on, it's Moses, right? Yeah. In fact, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, another word we use for that, they go by the five books of Moses, all right? the five books or the Torah of Moses. So, I mean, very early on, it's recognized Moses is the guy who wrote this. But then you get in the issue, John, he's writing about creation.
How do you know?
Who is their creation? Well, not Moses, not even Adam and Eve, right? The beginning of creation is just God. It's just God.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, you do have the issue. Well, how in the world can Moses write about creation if he wasn't even there? But I think the point you're getting to, John, is it's the same person, the same one behind Genesis was also behind Revelation and all of Scripture, and that is God, right? The Lord. Yeah.
So different human authors. In fact, that's what I love about the Bible. It's not a bunch of gold tablets that were found in a cave somewhere.
Yep.
No, we acknowledge this has a human history. You can trace it through. You can see the different versions and everything and stuff. But in the end, really the same author who is Almighty God. He's the inspiration for this. And it's nice to see that reflected in the wording of Genesis and the wording of Revelation.
And so we have verses like 2 Timothy, right? All Scripture is God-breathed. Talking about Revelation, but it's also talking about Genesis. God-breathed, God-inspired. And I think that's one of the things, like you said, John, that we don't have to shy away from as Christians.
No.
Just the opposite. I think we should emphasize that it's all these many writers of Scripture over centuries and centuries, over millennia even, writing this, and yet it's all one unified account. All of it centered in Christ Jesus. And I mean, I think that speaks again to the reliability of Scripture. Someone's got to be behind this. You know, this is just by chance. No way this could be coordinated, you know, and Moses, you know, coordinated this with Isaiah and others. No way. They didn't overlap, right? Even their lives. God is the one who coordinated it.
That's a good point because, you know, there is this thought, well, yeah, they just all got together and collaborated.
Mm-hmm.
Moses didn't know John.
No, exactly.
No.
And yet, you know, too, I think another thing, especially when it comes to Genesis and Moses, there also is, of course, you know, some of this perhaps written down, but more often than not passed on orally. And I think it's kind of interesting as we look at those genealogies that, you know, toward the beginning of the world, right, and the first centuries of the world, these guys are living, you know, 700, 800, 900 years, you know, and so to be able to pass on from generation to generation what took place, so how God was at work, you know, so Moses had that knowledge too, but ultimately it's the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit at work, inspiring Moses, inspiring all the writers of Scripture.
Stepson Tim has done an extensive dating of a lot of the figures in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. We don't realize that, a lot of these people were still alive at the same time because they were living so long. So it was like, oh, well, yeah, I can remember that. And, you know, they were actually living people. They're obviously not from creation, not from Adam and Eve, but other things that they would actually have living people there that had actually experienced these things that were being written down. So,
yeah. Definitely. Definitely. What was that? I think didn't Luther even have kind of this theory that Melchizedek may have been, one of Noah's sons, Shem, I think, it is pretty amazing. You know, we kind of, you know, the overlap that these individuals had over these long lifetimes, because we can tend to compartmentalize these accounts of Scripture. Oh, that's Moses. Or that's Noah. That's Abraham. That's Joseph, you know. But there's this overlap among those individuals who lived those many centuries, right? So anyway, fascinating. The other thing I think is important to point out is when we look at creation, when we look at Genesis, you know, Genesis is a book of history. It tells us about, how God made the heavens and the earth. It tells us about the flood. It tells us about all those things. But it's also not primarily a book of history. Right?
No.
It's a book that's centered in the saving acts of God. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. No surprise there. So I think there's times when we read the creation account and other parts of Genesis, and we think, well, why don't we have more details here? You know, why doesn't Moses tell us about, exactly what was made on every day? You know, when were the angels made, for instance, right? But, you know, see, that's really not the point. You know, the main point is Jesus. And so where Moses then spends his time, his energy, even with the creation account is, yeah, the fall into sin, but also the promise of the Savior. You know, that's what it's all about. Just to kind of keep those things in mind as we consider this first book of the Bible as we begin a new year.
I would say to affirm that we need to remember everything we're hearing, pardon me, in these first chapters is all heading towards that beautiful promise in Genesis 3:15 about the one that would be the offspring of Eve, who would be bruised, but he would also crush the head of the devil, which is, as you said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's what the story is all about. It's all about
yep.
leading up to the coming of our Savior, whose birth we just celebrated, right? The Emmanuel.
Yeah. I know. Promise fulfilled. Yeah. Promise made to Adam and Eve. Promise fulfilled in Jesus' birth and all that Jesus does. So let's read those first couple of verses, John. Let's just read verses 1 and 2 of Genesis. Boy, simple words, but boy, deep meaning and a lot here in just these opening verses of the Bible.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Yeah, so I mean, there we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's just mind blowing. I mean, for us with our limited, finite minds, right, John? You know, how do we even comprehend this? You know, so what existed before creation?
Nothing. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
See, now you've raised an interesting question, because we are told that the earth was without form and void. One of my favorite Hebrew phrases, tohu va-bohu, I believe is how it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean, Matt, without form and void?
Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing except for God. It's just God. Yeah. That's it. Here Moses is trying to put into language, human language, that nothingness, right?
Yeah.
That there's this nothing. So for instance, I think as we read scripture as a whole, you know, one verse I go to is Hebrews 11, right? That whole faith chapter, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible, you know, so that there's nothing visible, there's no stuff, it's just created from the word of God. So then you have this verse 2 then, how this initial creation was described. It's talked about how there was darkness over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. You know, and, you know, Moses' original readers, you know, they would understand that as this formlessness. Water's a formless, like nothingness material, all right? So this shapelessness, this formlessness, this nothingness, and you know, Moses trying to just put into human language what this was like. Because, we can't comprehend it. We cannot comprehend what nothingness is because we've never experienced that. You know, all we know is a universe, a world where there is stuff, right? But this is nothing, nothing.
So just to make sure I understand this correctly, so essentially in verse 1, when it says he created the heavens and the earth, yeah. The point there is that absolutely all there is God, but yes. now we're starting to have heaven and earth, but even at that beginning it's still kind of vague. What is of earth? It doesn't have any really form and void. It is totally dark. And there are waters there, but they're just kind of no form either.
So he
starts by creating some kind of substance is mm-hmm. what I'm saying, and the reason I'm emphasizing that is because that's what scientists wrestle with. You know, it's all kinds of different theories about how things got started, and we don't want to get into that. But they all have to acknowledge that's the biggest problem. How do you even begin? And it's kind of like the Bible says, yeah, that is a big problem. Well, it's God. It's God who begins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, It's just God. So God is the only thing that's eternal. Okay, yeah. Truly eternal. Nothing else has that characteristic, only God. So God has always existed, and God will always exist. And again, can't comprehend that. Now, we have eternal life, right? We talk about Christians, yeah. And we have eternal life. But we had a beginning point, right? That when we were conceived in our mother's womb, that's where we began. But through faith in Christ Jesus, we have life everlasting. Our life will go on forever and ever and ever. Thanks be to God. But God is eternal on both sides, right? He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. And, you know, thanks be to God for that, right? There's never going to be a time where he'll just stop existing. But again, I can't comprehend that, John. You know, that God is eternal and there was a time when it was just him. Mind-blowing.
My confirmants, it's interesting. They could understand the future concept of eternal. I don't know if they could really understand it, but they felt like they could. But you're right. So what came before God? That's what they'd always ask. And of course, that's the thing. No, he was there. There was nothing before him. Yeah.
Yeah. No one created God. Because if someone created God, well, then who created that being? Yeah. Who created that being, right? You're just in this endless cycle. No, it's just... God, one of his characteristics is he's eternal.
And what really
one of the
tickles
things that makes
me,
him God.
What tickles me is because science, you know, they want to be able to explain everything, but there's no scientists out that know how did it get started? They have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Because it is beyond our comprehension.
It is. So one of the things, and I don't want to, you know, we can get into this a little bit, but one of the things that, you know, science has come up with then is this, the Big Bang theory. That's still kind of the number one out there, John, about the creation. And, you know, this is in terms that a fifth grader can understand, here's the Big Bang theory, John. So the Big Bang theory says that 13.8 billion years ago, all right, interesting number there, everything in the universe...
But I was just a young man at that
13.8
time.
Billion, before John was even born. The universe was squeezed into a tiny super hot point, and then it suddenly expanded like a balloon blowing up fast. And then as it spread and it cooled, then stars and planets and galaxies began to form. I mean, that's kind of the fifth grade level version of the Big Bang Theory. Now, as you can see, there's probably some issues with that theory. One of them, as you pointed out, is, well, how did that first super hot, tiny point even get there?
Yeah.
How did that energy get there? How did that matter get there, right? What started the Big Bang? And then just the perfect balance of the universe, how everything is just perfectly balanced. Here we are in a planet just kind of floating there in outer space, the perfect distance from the sun. The Big Bang Theory says all that was just kind of random chance, you know. It just happened, you know. And then you think about just in our own solar system, our own galaxy, the Milky Way, you've got all these planets and stars, billions, and then we're just one of billions of others. Galaxies. I mean, it's incomprehensible. And to say that all of that was just by chance or from some big bang, I think it's hard to prove.
So here's the thing that's interesting about that Big Bang theory, what a lot of people don't realize. When that was originally proposed, many scientists didn't like it because they realized that ultimately that theory does require you still to have a God. Because there's got to be some source of that initial thing. And so, for a long time, scientists actually opposed it because it seemed to be too religious. And then finally they realized, oh, well, okay, we'll just still teach it and we'll leave God out of it.
Yeah.
But at its root basis, there's got to be some origin for all of that. So the other theory was that, oh, no, this has always existed. It's just the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because you're right now, because all the evidence points out that if there was something, it was probably something along those lines. But originally, a lot of scientists oppose it precisely because they realize, we may end up having to believe there's a God that started all this off. Because again, how does it get started? Where does even the tohu wabohu, you know, the very beginning, where does that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, you can't quote unquote prove creation, right? You can't prove the Big Bang. But I, you know, in many ways, the Big Bang, you know, it was theorized as an alternative to creation. Okay, we don't want to believe in this God stuff, so we need something to explain how everything got here. Let's call it the Big Bang, right? And this is the alternative. But, you know, even the Big Bang theory obviously can't be proven, and even requires a certain amount of quote-unquote faith, right? Because it, it can't be proven. You know, but as we speak about these things, though, you know, Christians are not anti-science, okay? Yeah. We're not against science. But I think sometimes we almost have this attitude, we have to be scared of science. Like, oh, boy, we're not going to know the right answers to some, you know, to science. But when it's good science, when it's observable things, when it's, you know, God's gift of medicine and all those other things, now those are good things. We call them, as Lutherans, first article gifts, you know, that God, the creator, he's created ways in which we can explore our universe and human bodies. Thanks be to God. But we want to make sure science is kept in the right perspective, right? You know, God's word doesn't serve science. So science serves God's word. And so as Christians, we approach science, you know, informed by the account of creation, informed by scripture. But again, we don't have to be scared of it. And there, you know, we need godly Christian doctors and astronomers and physicists and chemists. That's a good and wonderful thing.
The thing that bothers me too is it seems like we are scared of it. If you go through history, Christians were always the leaders in all areas of knowledge and science. We were the, because we believe, well, God made it. We want to figure out how. What are the rules? How did he do this? See, it wasn't against God like so many things are today, but it was actually, we believe he's a creator. We just want to understand now what it is he's created, because that's what we do as Christians. We understand what our God has made. I maybe have a little bit different opinion than you on this particular subject. Because actually, I like the Big Bang theory. In fact, my thought is that as we continue to study the facts that we have, we're going to find out it fits the description of Genesis a lot better than what we ever thought. That the book of Genesis, especially this first chapter, is probably the most accurate description you can have of how things happened, especially as we wrestle with things that are really in many ways beyond our comprehension.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to kind of look at our time here, John. We can continue this discussion next week if you want. I think just to kind of leave today, for me to know that God is behind everything is a comfort. The idea that this is here just by random chance, there's no God, that's terrifying. But to know that God's behind it, and I think that causes us to appreciate creation all the more, to appreciate the stars and the planets and our world and our own bodies and one another, to know that I'm created by God, my neighbor's created by God. I mean, that really, to know that there's a God of love behind all this, that means everything. So to kind of leave us here, Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And find comfort in that. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord is God. The same God who sent his son Jesus to redeem you and to redeem his world.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.